Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Correct answer. You answered rightly. Do this and you shall live. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, is summarized for us in a summary of what we commonly call the Ten Commandments. If you look at the Ten Commandments, they break out very easily into two groups. The first four commandments teach us how to love God, and the last six teach us how to love our neighbor. In other words, don't steal from him, don't kill him, don't covet things that he owns. Those kinds of things. So in other words, this that the lawyer has given is a summary of the entire teaching of the law. And the Lord commends him for a correct answer. You've answered correctly. Do this and you shall live. And then we're told that the man willing or desiring to justify himself says unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? What's the man doing? He's trying to get his mind around the parameters of what he's actually supposed to do in order to inherit eternal life. I have to love my neighbor as myself, therefore I better figure out who my neighbor is. And the human, the common, fallen, corrupt human inclination is to make that category of neighbor a very limited group. Because if I have to love my neighbor as I love myself, that's pretty tough. So I better narrow it down as much as I can. And we're really good at doing that. We do that in all kinds of ways. And we still do it. We do it through ethnicity. We do it through education level. We do it through wealth. We do it through, dare I say this today, political parties. We do it in all kinds of ways. We create categories to put people in so that we can define who's my neighbor and who's not. And even after we've made those which are very broad categories, we then reduce them down more and more and more. Someone with common interests. Someone who has, we can make up ridiculous things. The same hair color as me. I don't know. But all of these categories that we make are really a reflection of our own self-love. Because what do we inevitably do when we begin reducing down and sort of cutting people out? That's not my neighbor, that's not my neighbor, that's not my neighbor. We end up limiting it to people who are like me. The people who are like me are the ones that I can get along with. I'll call them neighbor, and I'll try to love them. The rest of them, I don't care. And that's precisely what this man is doing. Who is my neighbor? Who am I obligated to love as myself? Which ones? The other lawyers? Just the Jews? Just the pious Jews? Just the pious Jews that go to temple every Sabbath? You know, who's my neighbor? Just my family? Just the family that is good to me and not the family that's mean to me? And so the Lord actually, the Lord answers by simply telling a parable. He doesn't give him a definition. He simply tells the parable. The man says, who is my neighbor? The Lord says, well, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. But what does he do in the parable? He turns the question around. The question of the lawyer is, who is my neighbor? What the Lord asks him by telling the parable is, who are you neighbor to? To whom are you a neighbor? That's a different question. And the Lord answers the question not in terms of any kind of strict definition. Not just the Jews, not just the pious Jews, not just even the pious Gentiles. He answers in a question in a term that doesn't delineate and define and categorize people. He answers it according to nature. We create artificial distinctions, but the Lord answers it in terms of nature. Human nature. A man. That's it. We don't know anything about this man. We kind of assume that he's a Jewish man, but the Lord doesn't say that. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. What do we know about this man? Not much. All we know is that he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. We can infer a lot of things about that. We can infer from the fact that he's leaving the holy city of Jerusalem and going down to Jericho. There's symbolic meaning to those towns that are attached to them by the Holy Fathers. That's fine. But we don't know anything really about the man. And he simply falls among thieves, he's beat up, he's wounded, he's robbed of everything, and he's left half dead. And then the Lord tells about how the priest came by and crossed on the other side, and the Levite came by and looked on him and couldn't do anything, so he passes by on the other side. And finally, a Samaritan comes by, and the Samaritans were notoriously hated by the Jews. They were ethnically and religiously half-breeds, and they couldn't stand them. So that's why the Lord says the Samaritan came by. And he came and he saw him, and the first thing he does is not a physical action, it's a spiritual response to the condition of the man. The first thing he does is he has compassion. That's not a physical action, that's a spiritual response to looking at the suffering of another human being, to react with compassion. So the first thing is he responds with compassion, and then he acts on his compassion, and he binds up his wounds, he pours in oil and wine to clean them up, he puts him on his own beast, on his own donkey, and he takes him to the inn, and he gives to take care of him, and then whenever he leaves him in the charge of the innkeeper, he pays the innkeeper for his trouble and says, when I come back to get him, I'll pay whatever more you spend out of your own wealth. So the Lord has turned the question around. Who are you neighbor to? Because that's what the Lord says at the end there. Who was neighbor to the one who fell among thieves? Not who was his neighbor, but who was neighbor to him. And the answer is answered in terms of human nature. Another human being is your neighbor. There's no clear definition. There's no, well, because he was a Samaritan, which we don't know, the priest and the Levite couldn't do anything for him. And the Samaritan had to help him. There was no clear definition. It's a man. Human nature. Another human being is your neighbor. And the example of this, and because this is where we get to the real heart of the matter, is who is the neighbor to the human race? It's our Lord Jesus Christ. All of this whole parable is a description of the divine action of our Lord Jesus Christ. He describes himself as a Samaritan because he was cursed. But he came to, and what does he see? He humbled himself and he came down to earth. He became one of us, and what does he see? Human nature, beaten up by sin, wounded, and half dead. Half dead, that is, we pass into death, and what happens? Half of us, the body, lays in the ground, and the other half of the soul goes to a waiting area, waiting judgment, and we're literally torn in half. So he sees human nature broken, corrupt by sin, left half dead. And his response to it is not, that's what you get, I told you would. His response to it is not, well, you know, you play with fire and you get burned. His response is compassion. This is a divine response. God himself, when he sees the suffering of the human race, responds with compassion. And in his compassionate response, he binds up the wounds. He binds up the wounds of sin. He does this in his own person, in his own body. He is nailed to the cross to bind up our wounds. And it says that he set him on his own beast and he took him to the inn, which is the church, to take care of him. And then on the morrow when he departed and he ascended into the heavens, he took out 2 pence, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and gave them to the host, the apostles, to the bishops, to the priests, to the pious faithful, all through the ages. And he says, take care of it. Take care of him. Take care of the human race. Nurture it. Correct it. Teach it. And anything more that you put in, when I return, I will repay you. This is the heart of the meaning of this parable. So for you and for me, as tempting as it might be to limit our definition of neighbor, we must understand that we cannot do it. Anyone that we want to exclude from the circle of our neighbors, we must realize that that person is the neighbor of Jesus Christ. Anyone that we desire to cut out, anyone that we desire to judge or to condemn or to sever from us in whatever way possible, we have to realize that for that person that I despise, for that person that I hate, for that person whom I wish did not exist, Jesus Christ humbled himself and came down from the heavens and submitted to death on the cross and descended into hell and rose from the dead on the third day and ascended into the heavens and poured out his grace for that person whom I despise. And if we can remember that, then we can remember to behave in all times and in all ways, to behave as neighbor to everyone with whom we belong. This is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Love everyone that you come in contact with, as God himself loved. To him be all glory, honor, and worship, ages and ages.
Amen. Amen.